Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way Radio. Here you are going to be able to learn, apply, and to pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but will thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome back, everyone. This is Bob Lauder again from Christian Financial Ministries, and it is an absolute honor to have you with us today. It really is. Now, what's going to be in our schedule for our 30-minute time together? Well, first, you will continue to discover what the Bible has to say about giving. Now, so far, we've talked about the tithe, but today you're going to discover the first of three ways the Bible says that you can give above and beyond the tithe. We're going to be talking about some great giving questions from real-world listeners. You will discover a new deep fake technology scam from the Better Business Bureau. That's going to be interesting. And of course, you're going to get to spend yet another minute with Maxwell as Christian leadership author and speaker, teacher, trainer, and mentor and coach shares with you his thoughts on the word resilient. And then finally, just before we close out, I'm going to share with you just a little bit about a brand new community service project our ministry is going to host on a regular basis. So stay tuned, won't you? It's going to be a great time together with the Lord. So as we start, would you please join me for a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for meeting with us again today. Yes, we do. Would you please give us ears to hear all that it is that you have planned for us to hear? To your glory, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, you and I started out our conversation on giving God's way with the tithe, correct? The tithe. And as we did, you consider the absolute fact that he causes you to change in so many different areas of your life. He calls you, for example, to move away from financial bondage and into financial freedom. Okay? He calls us to learn to change in our giving habits. But you need to remember that along with this call to change, you can also expect some discomfort. Why? I mean, when we change something, there's most generally always some discomfort involved. And remember also that God gives you all you need so that you don't give in to this discomfort and quit. Remember, he has given you his spirit. He has given you his spiritual armor. And by the way, you also saw some religious folklore to avoid to allow you to direct some change in your life. And finally, you discovered through just a brief scriptural survey that your tithe is truly, well, it is simply your minimum testimony that God is the owner and you, my friend, you are his steward. You are his manager. And remember the quote that we gave you from, I think it was from Larry Burkett. Remember, you don't tithe to get close to God. You tithe because you are already close to God. So this is the tithe. This is where we have been. But the tithe is just one small part of sharing God's way. As far as the Bible is concerned, the tithe is simply the starting point. Now, for the next couple of times together, you are going to see how it is going to be possible to give above and beyond the tithe. You see, the tithe is not where God wants you to stop. It's where he wants you to start. How so? Well, because God shows you how you can give above and beyond the tithe. He shows you three additional levels to share so that you can choose to share more than just the minimum that he expects. More specifically, you're going to see that God shows you how to share out of obedience, how to share out of abundance, and how to share sacrificially. So for the next couple of times together, you are going to begin to discover some of the details behind each of these three levels of giving above the tithe. This week, we're going to start out with how to share out of obedience. So what does it mean to share out of obedience? Well, the logic for sharing out of obedience is really very straightforward. As a Christian, You simply predetermine that whatever God tells you to do, that, well, you're going to do it. And remember, God holds you accountable to do all that he tells you to do. And by the way, therein you're going to find the good news and the hard news about all of our radio times together. You see, the good news is that the Holy Spirit is showing you quite a bit to do and someone you are to become during all of our times together. Now, the hard news is that he is going to hold you accountable for all that he tells you to become and to do. Now, what does this mean exactly? Well, for one thing, it means you are going to leave our radio times together a whole lot more accountable than when you first tuned in. So it's a good thing that you're taking notes or maybe even re-listening to these broadcasts from our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org, right? You're listening, you're taking notes, you're looking for applications. So let's back up. Basically, sharing out of abundance is simply sharing with others who are in need out of the Holy Spirit-inspired conviction, out of the absolute conviction that they ought not to do without. You see, sharing out of obedience is when God shows you a need after you have already given your tithe. And you're thinking something like, "But Lord, I've already given my tithe." But God says, "Yeah, I know you have, my child, but don't you see that need?" And then he shows you that need. And by showing you that need, he's asking for you to help meet that need. You see, it doesn't make any difference that you've already given the minimum he expects. When God shows you a need, he is asking you to give to help meet that need. Now, do you remember what you discovered earlier when it comes to making a vow to the Lord? Do you remember what we said? That according to the Bible, it's a whole lot better not to make a vow to the Lord than to make it and not keep it. Do you remember that? As a Christian, the attitude of your heart should be, "Lord, when you show me what to do, I mean, Lord, you're going to have to deal with a whole lot of things in my life, but I'm just praying that disobedience is not one you're going to have to deal with very often. So Lord, when you show me something to do, I'm going to set about doing it." That should be the attitude of your heart, right? Well, sure it is. My guess, absolutely it is. But you need to know that if that is the attitude of your heart, God, well, he just may show up one day and give you James 2:15-16, which says this: "Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go and I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it?" You see, my friend, when God places the physical needs of someone on your heart, he expects you to do something about it. And he may have equipped you to take care of the whole need, okay? Or he may have equipped you to take just a part of it. But when you do whatever that something is, you are responding out of obedience. You are sharing out of obedience. Now, I don't know what it's like in your life right now, but when I see all of those mission appeals on television, when I see all of those needs in my church and elsewhere within the body of Christ, all over the world, even in my own community, when I see just some of all of those needs that are out there, well, it seems that those needs are so many and so great that sometimes I tend to think something like, "Man, I can't do it all, therefore I can't do anything." Have you ever had that thought along those same lines? Have you? But God says that if each one of us will do just what he asks each one of us to do, it will all get done. Do you remember this thought that we shared with you some time ago? If there's a need in the body of Christ, somebody isn't doing their job. If there's a need in the body of Christ, somebody is not doing their job. Now, that is a really, really good statement. You see, I got to honestly believe, based on God's word, that if God asks you to do something, he has already given you what it is that you need to have in order to be able to do whatever he asks, right? Now, it could very well be that he expects you to meet just a part of that need by giving just a part of your time, of your talent, or maybe your monetary resources, whatever it might happen to be. God knows you can do something, and you need to do that something. And when you do it, again, that is giving out of obedience. Think about this for a minute, okay? Think about this. Have there been times in the past when God asked you or your family to give and you didn't see how you could possibly afford to give? You know, you thought something like, Lord, I would love to be able to give, but I just don't have the resources to be able to give right now. Does that sound familiar? But one thing you will always find is that when God lays a need on your heart, He has also already given you the ability or the resources to do something about that need. And remember, that need may appear to be so very large that your little gift can't possibly make a difference. But listen, now you know that God measures your gift based on your attitude and what you have, correct? He does not measure the value of your gift on what you don't have. So what is sharing out of obedience? Well, it is after you tithe, when you predetermine to do whatever God tells you to do. It is when you share with others who are in need out of a conviction that they should not do without. And it's when you do all you can do, whether it means all or just some of the needs, okay? That is sharing out of obedience. Listen, sharing out of obedience can be summed up very nicely this way, and I believe this does come from Larry Burkett. Listen to this quote. Sharing out of obedience. What you can do, you should do. In a world that could not care less, you need to be someone who couldn't care more. My friend, God tells you that He has a minimum standard for sharing His way, and it is called the tithe. And you're told not to rob Him by withholding the tithe from Him. So first you have the tithe. That is the minimum acknowledgement of God's ownership and your stewardship. But listen, God also knew that there were going to always be those who wanted to do more than just the minimum. So He gives you three ways to share above and beyond the minimum, okay, and receive even greater blessings. He shows you the first of those three levels above the tithe. This time, remember, it is called, He talked to you about sharing out of obedience. Next time He is going to share with us the second level of giving above the tithe, which is sharing out of abundance. It's going to be a great time together, so don't miss it. Okay, now let's take just a minute or two and let's build on the teaching that the Lord has just given us about sharing His way, okay? And let's do that by taking a look and thinking about and talking about a couple of questions that we receive from real-world people, real-world giving questions. Here's the first question. Bob, my husband and I both work right now. Should we tithe from our total income or just on my husband's income since I don't intend to work for a long period of time? Now, as we're dealing with this question over the air here, what I want you to do is to stop and think for just a second. Based upon what we've already talked about, how would you respond? How would you respond to this question? Okay. Here's a possible response. Let me share it with you. Hey, Jenny, thanks for your question. And my response may surprise you because I got to believe that you and your husband should give exactly what God convicts you to give. Now I will say this. The Bible says that we should tithe on whatever comes into our possession. And in your case, I got to believe that would include both salaries. But let me suggest something else that I picked up in your question. I want to encourage you not to consider any income yours or any income his, but all income ours, okay? Why? Well, because according to Genesis 2:24, God looks at a married couple as one, Great, great initial question for today. Here's another one. And by the way, this is another one that we receive all of the time. And first thing I want you to do is listen to the question, and then I'm going to challenge you to listen to the response to our question, okay? And see if you agree. First, here's the question. Dr. Lauder, I am a Christian, but my husband is not. I want to tithe, but my husband does not. Should I tithe anyway? I've had counsel from Christians on both sides of this question. Now, I want to honor my husband, but should I honor him above the Lord? Okay, there's the question for us to consider. Does this ring a bell with you in your life? Maybe somebody you know? Okay, now, let's consider a response, okay? Here's the response that we're giving. One possible response. Shelley, first thing I want you to do is to remember that the money you give is not important to God. What is important to God is the attitude about whatever you give, okay? 1 Peter 3:1-6 tells us that a wife is submissive to her husband, even if her husband is not a Christian. Shelley, according to the Bible, your reward from God comes as a result of your attitude. And when you commit in your heart to give, your reward from God is, well, it's absolutely assured at that point. But let me add a very practical suggestion to you. This is a suggestion we have used for years, and I have seen so many blessings, okay? Listen, ask your husband if he will allow you to begin to give something, anything, perhaps maybe it's only $50 a month, and tell him you'd like to do this for 1 year, okay? And at the end of that year, you're going to stop, and together you and your husband are going to take a look and to see if you're going to evaluate whether or not you're better off or worse off financially, okay? If you are worse off financially, you're going to stop giving. You're never going to bring it up again. You're going to stop giving. On the other hand, if you are better off, then you would like to give a little bit more. Now, obviously, this is the test of God, isn't it? But in Malachi 3:10, what we find is that God allows us to test him in this area. And as a matter of fact, as far as I can see, this is the only time when God says that we can test him. So why not let God prove himself to your husband? I've got to tell you that many wives have done this and have found it to be the first step in their husband's coming to the Lord. Shelley, there is so much more at stake here than just money. This could be your husband's very first step towards salvation. Okay, well, according to the clock on the wall, we have time for a couple of more quick but important questions. Here's the first. Bob, I give a portion of my income at work to the United Way and other secular organizations. I believe that if these groups are doing God's work, they are worthy of receiving a portion of my tithe. Now, my wife disagrees. What are your thoughts? Well, Johnny, thank you for the question. And I have to tell you that as far as I can see from the Bible, well, the Bible tells us that the tithe is the portion of our income that has been committed to God and is given as the minimum testimony of his ownership and our stewardship. We've talked about that even earlier in the program today. Therefore, according to the Bible, the tithe should not be used to support secular organizations. Now, as you've already heard today, that does not mean that they are not worth your help. It's fine to give to them, but doing it after you tithe, that's the way to go. Okay, the first step would be giving out of obedience. We talked about that, not from your tithe. I suggest that you and your wife both sit down together and agree to ask God to instruct you what to do. Read the Bible, listen to what he tells you to do from the Bible, and then do what he tells you to do. All right? Okay. Now, finally, we have this question from Billy. Bob, do you think it's proper for us to use part of our tithe to keep our children in a Christian school? Well, Billy, as you have seen today and on several of our earlier radio seminar times together, according to the Bible, the tithe belongs to God. It is your minimum material testimony that he owns it all. And it would seem that if you take a portion of your tithe and divert it to keep your children in a Christian school, well, it could be seen as really a gift in self-interest. Listen, my friend, educational costs are a normal responsibility of your family. Now, I've got to believe that if you will commit to tithe to the Lord and not to your children's school, He is going to provide a way for them to attend Christian school if that is His will. Now, those are some great questions. Now, you might just want to go over to our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org and listen to them again. And then you prayerfully do as the Lord gives you to do, or share with others as He gives you the opportunity to share. Oh my, oh my. According to the Better Business Bureau, scammers are taking advantage of something called deep fake technology to create videos so convincing that people are handing over their money to the scammers. Now, the latest one of these deep fake technology scams has to do with Elon Musk, who appears to be endorsing an investment plan, but the video is fake and the investment is a scam. Now, how does this work? Well, you come across a video of Mr. Musk while scrolling through social media, right? Or perhaps a trusted friend sends you a video. And in it, Mr. Musk talks about ways to invest in cryptocurrency and how you can make a whole lot of money in a very little amount of time. Now, this sounds like a great get-rich-quick scheme, but the video looks so real. You know you should challenge it, but it looks so real. And this man is famous. He's a famous business leader, so his advice must be credible, right? Wrong. We need to think again. Again, the video is fake. Scammers use deep fake technology to piece together a montage of video clips, making it look like that superstar is endorsing the scheme. So how can you spot such a video scam? Well, first, understand how the technology works. Listen, deepfake technology takes video clips and photos of a person and uses that imagery to create new videos and more audio clips. Now, what do you need to do? Well, you need to check all of this out in the detail online and on the Better Business Bureau online. Second thing you need to know is that celebrities are often impersonated. Politicians, actors, business leaders, and other celebs are often recreated in deep fakes. And that's because plenty of public video clips and audio clips of them are available. So don't assume that a celebrity video is legitimate unless you can verify it in some way using an official website address. Now, the third thing you can do is to do not act immediately. Most scams involve an element of urgency, don't they? Claims that you should get rich quickly, but only if you act now? Listen, that should raise a red flag in your life. Never give in to the pressure to invest or to wire funds or to give up your personal information to receive a gift or money or an investment opportunity, but only if you do it right now. Now, the fourth thing you can do to recognize a viral video scam is not to believe everything that you see on social media. Never make financial decisions based upon viral videos or what you pick up from social media. Just don't do it. Now then, it is time to invest some time into what the Lord wants to give us through Christian author and writer and teacher and coach. Let's spend yet another minute with Maxwell as John Maxwell shares with us his thoughts on the word resilient.
Hey, John Maxwell here. I'm so glad you're joining us today on Minute with Maxwell. Our team member Cam from Jersey City, New Jersey. So, John, I would like for you to talk today on Minute with Maxwell on the word resilience. It's a very important word. And the reason of its importance is this. I have a statement that I use often, and the statement is, you're never good the first time. Well, if we're never good the first time, what it means is we probably won't do the first time well. So the question isn't, are we going to be good the first time? We really aren't. The question is, are we going to be resilient after not being good the first time? Because the moment we understand that we're not always going to do it right, we're not always going to get it right. But if we have the ability to get back up, or like a friend of mine in college who told me one time, he said, John, I'm never down. I'm either up or getting up. His name was Brad. I said, Brad, you're a resilient person. Resilience, it's a great word for us today on Minute with Maxwell. Go back out into your world and, hey, if you get knocked down, get back up.
Wow, thank you, John Maxwell. My friend, I think we can see that we're not always going to get it right. We need to remember that. But if it doesn't work out the first time, or maybe even the second time, we need to get back up. We need to get back up on our feet. Embrace being human. Embrace being resilient. And keep on keeping on. Thank you, John Maxwell. All right, then. That wraps up our time together today. Now, where have we been? Well, we continue discovering what the Bible has to say about giving. And so far, we have talked about the tithe, but we discovered that the Bible also shows us that the tithe is just the beginning, that it is possible to give above and beyond the tithe three different ways. The first way being sharing out of our obedience, which is what we did today. Now, next time, we're going to be taking a look at sharing out of our abundance. Now, we had some great giving questions from real-world listeners. We took a look at a new deep fake technology scam that we got from the Better Business Bureau, and of course, we just had a great minute with Maxwell. Now, just before we pray out, I want to share with you something that we're going to be adding to the program, hopefully very soon. As you know, we at Christian Financial Ministries, we're dedicated to ministering to and praying for and working with our local community. So beginning very soon, we're going to be talking on air with some small business owners in our area and also some local service organizations as well. And the purpose is going to be to help promote our local economy and all of the work that our social organizations do for all of us. So if you are a small business owner, or if you work with a service organization, that what we'd like you to do is to give us a call. If you'd like to be on the radio to describe to others what it is that you're doing and why, give us a call at 678-386-2640, 678-386-2640, or you can send us an email from our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. And that does wrap up all of our time together today. But listen, before we close, I was looking at the calendar on my desk, and I realized that it's now been just about a year since the Lord opened the door for us to broadcast these programs to you three times each weekend. So I want to take just a second and give a special shout out and thanks to WJRB 95.1 FM in Young Harris. But I also want to thank you, all of you who have been listening, and I want to thank you for all of your encouraging words over the last year. And remember, you can go back and to re-listen to any one of our programs by simply visiting our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. That's www.christianfinancialministries.org. That's all spelled out. And what you're going to find when you get to the homepage, you're going to see a link from the homepage to the blog page. And on the blog page, you're going to see a link to the radio programs, not only the radio programs, but to all of our money minutes as well. All right? So praise the Lord for the last year. Thanks to you for being with us today. Now, well, let's close out with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for bringing us together again today, for all the times past and for each of the days yet to come. And we also thank you, and Lord, we ask your blessings on our local communities. Lord, you are blessing us to be able to live here in the mountains. Thank you for allowing us to bless our communities with our prayers, all to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we're going to see you here next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom, God's way. Thank you.